Chapter 15 The Third Heaven by D-68. Sabrina was drifting in and out of consciousness. A holographic creche illuminated her shadowed room. The heads of two woolly sheep turned from side to side as three ornamented magi winked at the dying woman. The rest of the manger crew swayed as if in a peaceful breeze. In one of her more lucid moments, she spoke to herself. I wonder if Cassie will throw me a death day party. No wrapped gifts, of course. No blowing out of candles, but perhaps a final meal like an inmate on death row. The Westminster wall clock sounded its four-part phrasing and then clanged six times. Seven people filed into Sabrina's room and, in a cheery voice, Stacy announced, "It's Christmas Eve, sis, and we're all here to sing you holiday carols." Sabrina cracked open an eye and crinkled a smile. Cassie tamed her mother's wild hair, and Mason powered her bed into a sitting position. Stacy spoke up. "I know Joy to the World was Mom's favorite carol, so let's begin with that." "Okay." Stacy, Cassie, and Judy stepped nearer to Sabrina's bed as Mason, Bill, Mac, and Brian positioned themselves behind the women. Philip and Ziggy looked on from the wall screen. Gustav blew a pitch pipe, and all nine members of the End of the World Club joined in song. Festus, Stace's agent, provided a lush orchestration. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her king, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love." The group sang through three more carols before ending with "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." During that final song, the creche scene vanished and, in its place, her holographic family joined the chorus, wishing Sabrina a very Merry Christmas. With a gasping breath she croaked, "And a Merry Christmas to you all." She then closed her eyes and swallowed an exhalation. Sabrina Finch descended into a profound and dreamless sleep. Oblivion. No self, no ego, no awareness, absolute nothingness. Not in the sense that there was something and that something could be termed nothing. There was not a thing. And then, a faint, very faint, ego began to bubble from the abyss. Had time passed? That was not a proper question. Time is a something and all somethings had ceased to be. Sabrina's first notion was of floating within an amniotic pond. She perceived no sight, no sound, no touch, in fact, no body at all. Her mind, however, began a slow ascent from the depths. This certainly isn't like awakening from a dream or even emerging from anesthesia. This bottom is deeper. Is my soul returning from the dead? The first physical sense she recovered was hearing. Sounds were muffled and distant. A thought percolated. I somehow remember that a baby in the womb can hear its mother's heartbeat. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm being born again and aware of outside voices. Her impression of speech grew clearer with suggestions of male and female. Was that laughter she heard? Next, her tactile sense revived. The palms of her hands pressed against something moist. She felt the weight of gravity pushing her body into a surface, soft yet firm. The overall impression was of a vegetative platform. She flicked a finger. Next, she inhaled the aroma of new-cut grass, the blades of which pricked the nape of her neck. She could almost open her eyes. Something warm and sticky was now mopping the pores on her face. The odor was unpleasant. She squirmed in discomfort and heard howls of laughter. She popped open a single eye, but her vision was obscured by a wriggling mass of brown fur. Finally, Sabrina grasped her situation. Finally, she opened wide both eyes to find herself resting supinely in a grassy meadow, encircled by a dozen mirthful spirits. The furball turned out to be Miss Peeps furiously trying to resuscitate her old playmate. Sabrina gently removed her licking dog and placed her on the grass. She sat upright, stretched her arms, and rubbed her eyes. She heard the voice of her father. "I'm so glad you're here with us, sweetie. We've been planning your homecoming for a while. Every new arrival receives a custom-made spiritual awakening. We hope you like what we arranged for you." Miss Peeps was now chasing her tail, yapping with excitement. The new arrival recognized the translucent spirits who were hovering over her. She examined her own arms and legs. They too had taken on this ethereal aspect. "Have I been resurrected?" She couldn't determine if it were her mouth that did the speaking or her mind thinking out loud. Grandpa Jack laughed and held out his bingo card. "Check. I have that square as B5. The soul of Kathleen Adams shouted, "That's my square N37. She then addressed her daughter, "You remember bingo, right? You and I used to play that game with Gramps every Wednesday in the fellowship hall." Sabrina stood to her feet and looked in all directions. "What are you talking about? Where am I?" Grandma Greta shouted, "071. Her father, who seemed to be the spokesman, responded, "Sabrina, we're just having a little fun predicting your questions. So, you want to know where you are? Well, you're among the blessed spirits awaiting the day of the Lord." "So, am I in heaven?" Several onlookers marked their bingo cards. "Not quite," said her dad. "Maybe in the narthex waiting to enter the nave. Remember last week when you were reading from the Apostle Paul? Didn't he call this place the third heaven? That's a good way to describe our location. We have one more step to go, our final abode into the New Jerusalem." Sabrina looked into the glimmering face of her father. "Dad, tell me truly. Am I dead or alive? Do I inhabit a body?" She gasped in trepidation. "I'm not one of those naked spirits you once told me about, am I?" He considered the three questions. "First, you're both dead and alive at once. Second, you have no body just yet. And third, yes, you are indeed a ghost, a pure spirit." She thought a long while. "But the meadow, the dog, the sun in the sky. They all look so real." Her mother answered, "It's an illusion that our gracious Lord has granted us while we await our new bodies." She then broke into song, "Oh, the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love." Sabrina suddenly recognized the voice of her late husband, Pastor Albert Finch. "As it is written, eyeth not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." He added, "I'm so glad we're together again." "Why is that, darling? So you can bombard me with scripture." He laughed. "Partly, and by the way, those verses are from 1 Corinthians 9, King James Version, of course." The two souls embraced, but Sabrina sensed something off kilter. The agape love was there for sure, but that earthly emotion called Eros seemed to be lacking. In addition, the non-corporeal embrace did not measure up to the earthly standard. Albert answered her thoughts. "Yes, my dear. Our sexual passion has passed with our flesh. In fact, as disembodied souls, we don't require any bodily function. Eating, drinking, sleeping, excreting, any of that. As far as our embrace goes, a true sense of touch is difficult to simulate. Human eyes can be fooled at the cinema and human ears with recorded sound. Tactility seems to require actual material. I can't wait to test drive my reconstituted body. I'll give you a genuine Pentecostal hug in the new city." The soul of Sabrina put her hands over her eyes as her mind expanded. It seemed a dam burst of spiritual knowledge flooded into her brain. "Okay." She nodded. "I get it now." Her father spoke again. "Wow. Even I felt that info surge into your mind. Sabrina, it's time for you to meet other souls who have been waiting for your arrival. We call this process the Tour of Joyful Tears. Pastor Albert whispered into her ear. And those are not the kind of tears that God will wipe away. You can refer to Revelation 7 verse 17, if you like. And so began her tour of third heaven. Sabrina understood that the naked souls she was about to meet were the true phenomena, while their visage, apparel, and environment were a necessary illusion. She figured her loving Maker had contrived the setting to provide this common medium. She concluded third heaven was a kind of virtual reality, like the Matrix movie, but filled with goodness and without the presence of Neo. Albert pointed to the multitude of souls waiting to share a word with the new arrival. You'll encounter three kinds of greeters. Those who shaped your life. You'll want to thank them. Those whose lives you helped to shape. They'll want to thank you. And those with whom you had a mutual shaping experience. Iron sharpens iron, as Solomon informs us in his book of Proverbs. Sabrina stared in awe. There must be 1,000 souls in the greeting lines. Probably more. I had 3,231 greeters for my tour. How long will it take, do you think? Albert smiled. Sabrina tilted her head upward and to the left, accessing her storehouse of spiritual knowledge. Oh, okay. In our present halfway house, our gracious Lord has created an illusion of Newtonian time. That sense will persist until the time when time has been fully redeemed. Albert nodded in agreement. We actually exist in a temporal mode called the eternal now. You're about to experience an example. You will introduce yourself to the first soul in line, and without a sense of time passing, you'll discover yourself speaking to the 1,000th. Albert alerted his one-time bride to two more phenomena of third heaven. Perhaps you haven't noticed this yet, but every soul you meet will be of an equal rank, a sinner saved by grace. Each of us is a brother or sister in Christ without distinction of earthly status or historical timeline. You may discover a few exceptions, but that's the general rule. I've heard rumors that in the New Jerusalem with our redeemed bodies we will receive rewards and functions. I'm not sure how that will work. He added slyly. There's even a rumor handed down by messenger angels that Jesus will return to earth before the globe has rotated 68 more times. Can you believe that? His parousia will usher in the day of the Lord. Here's a second thing you may not have noticed. You will never see babies or senior citizens in the third heaven. In order to honor our Lord, we have all clothed ourselves with the age of Christ at his death. Each disembodied soul appears to be 33 years old, no matter what our age might have been at death on earth. Pretty cool, huh? They both heard a trumpet summons. The tour of joyful tears began with her father, Stephen Adams, her brother in Christ. They talked and swapped stories about their days on earth together. They wept. They laughed. Every question was asked and every answer was given. There was a complete healing of all past hurt. Stephen spoke about his regret in having to leave his family at age 38. Sabrina thanked Stephen for writing notes in the margins of his Bible. He sighed. You know, it's even true in third heaven. His grace is sufficient. The tour continued with a mother interview. Kathleen and Sabrina spoke as equals, sister to sister in Christ. Yet, Sabrina intuited that their conversation fit mostly into category one. She was conversing with the woman who had the greatest impact upon her entire life. They shared secrets and spoke endlessly without fatigue. She thanked her mom for defending her during a nasty divorce and for supporting her in an awkward marriage to an older gentleman. The conversation seemed to go on forever, yet it was complete in a moment. Next in line was Jack Richardson, her grandfather. It took a mental reset to recognize him as a 33-year-old. She thanked him for his benevolence, his gift of written memoir, and for letting her win when playing Monopoly. And thank you so much for spending hours with me conquering that college algebra. I never would have made it without you. At one point she mentioned, "Oh, I understand why you're number three on my impact list after Dad and Mom. My years with Albert were too short, right? That's it, right?" She then racked her brain. And of course my sister Stacy is not yet deceased. She's still alive on Earth. My thoughts are fuzzy about my earthly years, but I'm pretty sure that's correct." Her face froze in distress. "But didn't I have another sister?" An avalanche of memory tumbled into her thoughts. Tears filled her eyes. "Where's my sister, Heidi? That's why I'm here, my precious granddaughter, third in line. This was Heidi's rightful position. We anticipated your awareness would spring up at this point." Sabrina's gaze shifted from Jack's face to a shining figure standing over his shoulder. This particular spirit stood a full head taller than the others, and his visage appeared older, maybe as a man of 60. The figure wore a tunic adorned with an inverted cross. Jack laughed. "And look who's here, right on cue. May I introduce Saint Simon Peter?" Sabrina's eyes got big. "Really? That's him?" The saint straightened his tunic. "Oh yes. I'm waiting for my redeemed body just like you. My friend Jack asked me to drop by." "Why did he do that?" "You were talking about your sister Heidi, right? You know she was invited to join us blessed spirits a dozen times at least. Do you remember sitting with her in a pew at Centennial Church? You may have been doodling on a bulletin." Sabrina blushed. Peter elaborated. "Kathleen was pleading with your sister. You remember, don't you? The verse your mom quoted came from an old sermon of mine I once preached in Jerusalem. Salvation is found only in Jesus Christ, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." He appended. "That account was written by my old partner, Dr. Luke, and placed in volume 2 of his collection called The Acts of Us Apostles." Sabrina strained to remember the incident but drew a blank. Jack provided remedial instruction. "Although we cannot literally turn back the clock, here in Third Heaven the constraints on our linear memory are lifted. We can spiritually revisit past events. It's not a mechanical rewind. Our personal history becomes like a navigable landscape. We can't alter past events, but we can certainly observe them. Sweetie, here's how you do it. Look upward and tilt your head to the right. Your spiritual memory is activated. Think about doodling in church as an entry point and then about Heidi. You'll be able to navigate your way back to the moment Peter is talking about." Sabrina followed her gramps' instructions and suddenly became as a ghost, hovering in the old church in 1987. She observed the pleas from Kathleen and felt the cold heart of Heidi. She studied her 8-year-old self to see her hand put down the stubby pencil and sob in silence. She saw Stacy and herself praying for her sister. She watched as Heidi cursed and stomped out of the sanctuary. Peter re-entered the picture. "You can see for yourself it was Heidi's choice not to join our party. We can't overturn her free will. She chose to exist without God, and God honored her decision. That's just how heavenly love works. So where is she then, if she's not here?" "Oh, she's in darkness, living her afterlife as she chooses. Believe it or not, if you could ask Heidi at this very moment, 'Sister, won't you join me?' her non-corporeal self would answer, 'Of course not. I like it down here with my buddies.'" The blissful saint spoke matter-of-factly. "All that bravado will vanish when she stands before the great white throne judgment seat. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Sabrina processed the meaning behind his somber pronouncement and then burst into tears. She calmed herself, sniffled, and gazed up to heaven. A mighty rushing wind blasted her face, drying her tears. A voice from the whirlwind declared, "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new." Sabrina spoke in a new tongue and never again doubted the perfect justice of the Most High God. The tour of joyful tears moved along. Sabrina conversed with Bradley Richardson. Her mirthful uncle was fully aware yet totally unburdened by the knowledge that his earthly wife, Marcia, and his second son, Jason, were not among the blessed spirits. With an ear-to-ear grin, Uncle Brad remarked, "It's a privilege beyond measure that my son, Philip, has been anointed as our Lord's special vessel." She spoke briefly with evangelist Billy Graham, who introduced her to her great-uncle Mortimer. Her great-aunt Celia gushed about the fabulous tent revival of 1949. 1,000 souls were won for Christ in a single evening. And I was blessed to witness the event. Sabrina met a woman with a semi-familiar face but couldn't place her in time and location. "I'll give you a hint," the woman giggled. She winked and shapeshifted into a limestone relief of Victorian vintage. "Why, you're Jane Dixon, aren't you, the gravestone woman who started all the paranormal mischief back in 1988. Her husband, James, clowned. She's a troublemaker, all right." Jane looked at her sister in Christ. "You were always a favorite of mine. You were born 100 years after my death and you sat in the exact pew that was my favorite resting spot." Sabrina then greeted Diana Nagy, the fortune teller turned nun, and Kevin Schwartz, the late senator from California. Sabrina had a short encounter with Johann Sebastian Bach. The two sang a few songs together, then Johann urged her, "Be sure to talk with Herr Kominski. I am looking forward to our harpsichord recitals." Margarita Minoso, her one-time mother-in-law, shared about her wayward son. "I prayed for your marriage every day, but my obstinate boy would never repent. The Latin Kings gang got a hold of him, chewed him up, and spit him out. He left you with one good thing, and that is Cassandra. Your child's been the blessing to you that Hector could never have been." She greeted others, many others. Rebecca Pinkney, the Girl Scout leader, Jimmy Boy, the drunken driver, as well as Ulna the orphan, the very first Christian in her long bloodline. The last in line introduced himself as Skesliwi. His face looked somewhat like her own. "I'm glad to meet you, Aunt Sabrina." She examined him with curious eyes. In place of the typical white apparel, the man dressed in baby blue. Her nephew appeared disappointed. "I'm sorry, there's not much we can talk about. You see, I was never actually born, but you did see a picture of me once. I'm what they call an auto entry." The man presented her with an oversized sonogram. "You remember me now, don't you?" "Ah yes. Heidi's baby boy. How different my earthly timeline would have been if Jimmy had not run over your mother. I think we would have been very close." Lucky Kominski then asked his aunt for a special favor. "I know my mom chose not to be with us, but my dad, Zygmunt, is still sitting on the spiritual fence. When you see him again, please deliver this message. Your son, Lucky, is waiting for you." He grinned. "He'll understand the message. Use the Polish word skesli. This is the only evangelism I can possibly accomplish from this lofty place." Sabrina was not sure what to make of his statement. "When you meet Ziggy." How could she meet him since he wasn't dead yet? She glanced to her right. There were no more greeters, but on a nearby hilltop, she did spy Grandpa Jack and Albert Finch. As she walked to meet them, Miss Peep started to her heels. The dog sniffed and squatted. Of course, nothing exited her luminous body. Jack and Albert strolled on either side of Sabrina. Albert asked, "So what did you think, darling?" "Wow! There was so much to absorb. I think I could spend forever in this place and not experience it all." She chided Albert. "By the way, I greeted 3,890 souls."
"You did. Good for you.
So, Sabrina, do you have any questions?" She reflected.
Will I meet Jesus? I had hoped to see him at some point. He's here, present with us. Albert pointed to the eastern horizon. You can see his glow on the mountain top. He's in council with his heavenly host. I've been told he's reserving a formal handshake for graduation time. He has a redeemed body, you know, and he's waiting for you to get yours as well. She asked Jack, "So Gramps, where do we go from here? I think it's time for you to find your home. You mean my mansion in the sky, right?" "Not quite," came his response. "Sweetie, access your spiritual knowledge for an important message." She cocked her head up and to the left. "Ha, it seems like military orders. What's your captain telling you?" It seemed to Sabrina that Jack and Albert were losing their luster. Sabrina recited. "Order 1. Personally deliver this message to Philip Richardson. I have selected you for a special mission. You will die, but not die. Do not worry. You are my chosen vessel. Order 2. Remember to tell Zygmunt Kominski about his unborn son and his given name. Order 3. Tell the other club members that, lo, I am with them even to the end of the age. Order 4. Close your eyes and cover them with your hands. Now remove your hands and open up your eyes. Ask for Cassandra.